They remind me of Disneyland.
Hi, who's that?
It's this place where stories come to life. They say it's for children, but really, it's for the child and everyone. Mom and Daddy would take me there every summer. And the trees all had these little lights in them. Like fireflies.
What was it like there?
It was magical. You'd hear music everywhere. Musicians playing horns and drums, marching up and down the streets. You could go up and shake hands at Mickey Mouse.
What's that?
It's this human-sized mouse with these big ears and gloves.
A giant rat. You let the bairns play with it.
It's not a rat, it's a mouse. Or really, it's just a person dressed up like a mouse. When you're there, the real world disappears. Nothing bad can happen. They call it the happiest place on Earth. And for a little while, it really seems that way.
Is it disappointing here, in this place, in this time?
No, not at all. You are magical to me.
Just thought about it now and then.
Come on, here we go.
There we go. From Providence, Rhode Island, welcome to Outlander Cast. It's a podcast dedicated to Outlander on Stars.
Sing me a song of the last that is gone. Say, could at last be I. Mary of soul, she sailed on a day.
And welcome back. My name is Mary Larson.
My name is Blake, and I've never been to Disneyland, but I have been to Disney World. Yeah, and I think it is kind of the happiest place on Earth, until you see a bunch of kids screaming and crying, and mothers and fathers yelling at their children to stop running around and trying to shove popcorn in their
faces as much as they can. Blake had a man behind the curtain moment on a recent trip to Disney, and he was like, oh, it's not the happiest for everybody.
No.
But for Brie, it always was. And can we just give a shout out to Claire and Frank Randall making it a point in their family budget to go to Disney every year. Disney.
I love that idea.
Well done.
Good
that
job,
ain't cheap.
Man.
I mean, granted,
at the time it was like 25 cents to go, probably.
Yeah, they did raise it a lot since then. But well done for carving out money for family trips.
Right?
I mean, I guess it makes sense so that they didn't like bring her abroad because they spent all their money on Disney.
Maybe they should have kept that money for the therapy that she needed, that Brianna needed.
You know, it got her through. It got her through. Oh my goodness!
I just want to say one thing, okay, Mary?
I'm here for it.
I just want to say one thing.
And I will always love you.
Oh yes, ladies and gents. Oh yes, that's Frank for you. That is Frank. I am so happy. I jumped for joy when I heard Frank's name being.
You jumped for joy so much that like we're not even getting into the show.
Oh no! I couldn't wait for Whitney.
We have like this whole Google Doc with like banter, and then we say this, and we do a little bit of that, and then we get into our GPGs. Mm-hmm. Like I thought this was gonna be you're great, and then you were gonna whip out the Whitney because of course you always will love Tobias Menzies and Frank's character here. Mm-hmm. Wow. You couldn't wait.
Could not wait.
You are Whitney, a terrible secret
keeper. I needed to break Whitney out as fast as I could, because that's how good that was.
Can I do something? You know what? You know what, friends? We're pivoting, because you know what? To hell with the Google Doc.
Okay. Like,
go back to the beginning of the clip that you just played for us, okay?
I'm gonna
roll with you. I know. I'm giving you a moment. I'm giving you a moment, my love.
You want me to bring it up on the TV in the studio, or
no,
you want me to
just
play
it
the
up
audio?
The sound. I just need the audio.
All right.
Because friends, if you missed it, Frank's theme plays ever so slightly. This beautiful clarinet, and then the theme kind of like blurs
it's
a little
she
bit.
Talks to,
yeah. She's talking to Jamie. That's what I'm saying.
No, it's not when she talks to Jamie.
She does. No, Frank's theme plays twice in this episode.
No,
I'm
it plays
you,
once.
No, go pull back it up, baby.
All right,
back
all right.
it up.
All right, hold on.
Because I know you're talking about when she's talking about Lord John. I'm telling you, it's here.
All right,
it's
hold
here.
On. Let me go.
You hear the clarinet, and it plays little bits of his theme.
All right, hold
even
on.
Here.
Let me bring it up here. You said the beginning.
She's like, oh, my mom and dad. Comes. It comes right there. I'm telling you. Not in the beginning, but like, you know what I'm...
Yeah.
Okay, we got
okay, here we go.
Some fly.
Mom and daddy would take me there every summer. And the trees all had these little lights in them. Like fireflies.
Here we go.
What was it like there?
Give me some clarinet. It's
magical. You'd hear music
Do you hear
everywhere.
The clarinet?
Musicians playing horns and drums, marching up and down the streets.
There.
Could go up and shake hands.
There it is,
It keeps going.
Oh.
This little clarinet.
What's that?
It's Frank. He's just like, I love
it. It's his human sized mouse with these
there it is.
Big ears and gloves.
A giant rat.
It's a play. Okay, you can turn it off.
Okay.
But right there.
Okay.
They play with Bear, not they. He plays with little bits, and he has this beautiful clarinet, which is Tobias Menzies' Frank-themed instrument, the solo instrument. And it comes, and it's Frank's theme, obviously, like has like some melancholy moments to it.
Yeah.
And this is a happy clarinet bit, and it has just like little moments of his theme. But yes, Blake, Frank's theme is then played a second time later in this episode, so... We'll check that on out in our normally scheduled portion of our Google Doc. You're welcome. I mean, I am a musician.
Yeah, well, yeah, I don't question you're not. I just didn't.
Especially when it's a woodwind, man. Ooh, just pulls in my soul. Pulls in my soul. All right, so here we go. Let's actually get into this
Luckily,
episode.
It's not an oboe, because we all know what an oboe is, Mary.
Stop. There's oboe players listening.
The oboe is a malnourished clarinet.
And that, of course, is a quote from Mozart in the Jungle. It is not actually our opinion on the oboe.
No!
All right. Time
Listen,
to get into
I'm
our
I'm not
episode
educated
recap.
Enough to say it's not, okay? All right.
Okay, Blake, you ready? Time for the episode recap.
All right, let's do it. All right, Marvin, this is the deal. This is the deal. We are here. We're talking about episode 702 of Outlander, entitled The Happiest Place on Earth.
Want to know something?
What's that?
Our son was seeing the notes for this, and he goes, "You guys have podcasted about Outlander 702 times?" I said, "Well, we've podcasted a lot about Outlander.
Almost, maybe?
But not 702. So I had to explain what season 7.
We haven't done that much podcasting.
Yeah. But he was like, "You guys podcast a lot, Mom." Yes,
we do, buddy. Yes, we do. Sorry, my camera is like super sharp right now. And I cannot handle that.
Our audio only listeners, they're not going to care. And they're going to be so confused.
I know, but I have
Goodness
to fix that.
Goodness me.
Sorry. Okay, so the writer was Tony Graffia. All of the... she has been with Outlander now as a producer and as a writer. And kind of, sort of, as a co-showrunner for seasons 3 and 4 with Matt B. Roberts. And she... is famous, a very famous writer all the way from her BSG days, as we all know, and as Mary and Blake Media listeners, you know that we have been all over the Tony Graffia train for many, many years, and she has written so many other episodes of Outlander. You can go to imdb.com and check that out on your own time. But in the meantime, this is her first episode that she's written. I think, actually... I don't think she wrote one last season, as a matter of fact. So this is her first solo episode in quite a while. And the director, once again, was Lisa Clack. You should know that name, everybody, because she directed the premiere of this season, episode 701. And that is that. We will talk about the episode recap now, written by our beloved Angela on the Outlander cast staff. She has written thus. We cold open on a few. Actually, you know, Mary, should you read it? Yes, yep. I think you should read it. Why? Shall you or should I?
Oh, sorry. I was in a different thing.
You can. Okay, I'll read it
last time. I trust you.
All right. We cold open a few months after episode 701. By the way, we can tell because Claire's hair is much longer in this episode. Claire discovers Alan Christie
back and forth
kneeling over Malva's grave, we find out that he's been perving her since birth. He's the baby daddy and murdered Malva when she was going to tell the truth. Mohawk Ninja Ian takes him out with an arrow. Mrs. Bug stumbles across them, burying the body, and lends a hand. Bree gives birth to baby Amanda, but Claire discovers a heart defect. Baby Mandy can only be saved in the future. On the way to Ocracoke, Brianna meets Redcoat William and Lord John. William's grown up haughty now. I can't believe those words just came out of my mouth. Okay. He's a grown up haughty now and eager to fight. Jamie looks at his children from afar and then pays a visit to John, who gives up his treasured gem for Brianna. John and Jamie painfully sever ties as they sit opposite sides of the war. Jamie and Bree share a beautiful conversation among the fireflies, where Jamie imagines her future life and the price they paid for it. If we had any tissues left in our box after an emotional goodbye at the Stones, they are gone when Claire sobs.
Look at Angela,
in bed
who
with
wrote this.
Jamie.
She's fancy. She's got tissues.
We got shaman.
Right?
We got shaman. We don't have enough money for them tissues. We're poor. It isn't over yet, though. Wendigo Donner and his gang show up. Donner wants time travel instructions and gemstones. The gang wants booty, and find the bugs have gold. And as the man ransacks the surgery, they smash Claire's ether. Donner lights one of Bree's matches, and cut to a fast shot. The house explodes in flames. So that is that, Marvin. Thank you for the recap, Angela.
Thank you, Angela. You're
what
amazing.
What do you say, Marvin? How many kilts are you given this episode?
Five.
Not surprised. Not surprised.
Yes, all the kilts. All the kilts, my friends.
Yes.
Loved it.
I'm actually surprised that it's not a 5+ from you.
First off, I need a little room to breathe. Second of all, something stood out to me that I went about. And you can't be a 5+ and have a fart sound.
Yes. There's no... luckily, we don't have a fart button. Otherwise, I'd be hitting the fart button.
Yes. Yes.
All right. For me, I'm giving this one a 4.85.
That is so low. So low for this magical, beautiful episode.
Well, there are a couple of things I think that stand out from it that just don't make sense.
Okay.
And that takes it down a notch. But you know what?
In relation to your grading scale and friends, yes, you've been listening to OutlanderCast for a while, you could back me up on this. A 4.85 from Blake is a 5.
Yes. Yes. 4.85 is basically a 5.
I'm so glad you did not go and become a teacher.
Why?
People would have lowered your class. It would be like, oh my God, Mr. Larson, he always grades us so harshly.
Yes.
Yeah, totally that would have been you.
Totally agree.
Yes.
All right, here we go. Your GBG, you're good, you're bad, and you're great.
Okay, my good was how much I cried. Me. Mary Larson.
Yeah, Mary's not a crier.
I am
when
not
it comes
a crier. No, no. And I cried almost every single moment in this episode. I actually like wrote it down in my notes, like started crying here, crying again. There we go. Here's the third. Nope, there's the fourth. Oh my God. Like every time anyone on screen cried, I started to cry too.
Sure.
I had all the feels. All the Charmin was used. Thank you, Outlander.
Yep.
I mean, it was a release that I didn't know I needed.
Yeah, sure.
I'll go for that.
I will.
Okay. Claire didn't owe in this episode, but I had a release with her through the weeping. You know, crying does that. I was actually listening to a report about, it wasn't a report, it's a podcast called the Puberty Podcast. Puberty Podcast.
Okay.
And about how there's this thing when people who have testosterone kind of raging through their bodies, it actually prohibits them from crying as much. So even though they're having such big emotions, it actually like blocks the abilities to cry, and how crying really is such a euphoric release. And that is why sometimes people who are raging with some brand new testosterone, have to find their endorphins, not euphoria, endorphins. They have to find it through more physical things.
Ah, okay. Mm-hmm. Fair enough.
But I'm just here saying that, like, I felt those endorphins through this episode, through the crying, and I'm glad Claire did too.
Yeah.
She didn't need to, you know, disassociate again through sex.
Right.
So, well done, Claire.
Yep.
Okay, so that was my great. It's just that I cried a lot. My bad was the CGI. Okay? Mm. So, I'm not saying it's Buffalo bad. Okay? It's not Buffalo CGI bad.
Bam!
Call back.
Just like that.
You see me? Friends online, do you feel me? You know what I'm talking about. Okay? Bree with the Buffalo. That was bad. But.
Not great, Bob.
The plane. Like, I don't know why they couldn't have just had a real plane.
I genuinely forgot about the Buffalo.
I'm glad I brought it back, Blake. Because, okay, so if we just, like, if we layer, like, the blowing up of the house, that's above Buffalo, right?
I can't recall.
And I know that fire on TV is really hard with CGI. I get it. We just rewatched The Descendants 3 where Hades' hair is on blue fire. I know. The Buffalo CGI was really, really bad. It was. So, I mean, if that was here, this probably would not have been a 5 because that was tough for me. And I know there's part of me that's like, God, I don't want to nitpick about CGI. I still gave this episode a 5, okay? This is why it's not a 5+. Because the CGI took me away. And for that, I'm like, shame. Oh, man. Because it was like, Wendigo lights the match and Claire's like, no! And then, and I turned to Blake and went, what was that? Remember?
That's true.
I did. Yeah. So, see, Claire keeps falling on our table. She can't even handle the CGI.
Oh,
all right.
Man.
Now the plane with Jemmy's hand with the plane, I liked.
Yeah. Oh, love
but
that.
To me, it just felt so CGI'd.
Yes.
That I was like, gosh, can't you just get a real plane? So I know where the money is. The money is in other aspects of this show. I mean, this show is so friggin' beautiful. Oh my God. The lighting, everything.
I can forgive the plane one because getting the proportions right.
Agreed.
That's a lot of bread for a shot. The fire one was bad.
Yeah.
But
fire, we said it after I made the sound.
Yes.
You were like, Mary, fire's really hard on CGI. And then I said, then actually blow it up.
Yeah, right.
That was my response.
That's true.
Okay. Now, my great.
And I've seen a lot of complaints about the fireflies, too, and how that CGI was bad.
That wasn't even what I was. I loved that.
I was going to say about that is stats are for nerds.
Oh, my God. Did you feel like that was New England fireflies, though? That, to me, felt real.
Those were friggin' Chernobyl fireflies. They are were irradiated.
They
were that big.
Listen,
and
if
that powerful.
Friends who have young ones in your life, if you've seen Dinosaur, the Disney movie Dinosaur, mm-hmm. the amount of fireflies in that was a lot.
Yeah.
So maybe it was just a progression. There's been a lot of, you know, fireflies aren't what they used to be nowadays. The firefly population has been dwindling.
Sure. Yeah.
Okay. So who knows?
Too many jars. That's
who
the problem.
Knows? Too many jars.
Yeah. Catching fireflies, putting them in jars.
Oh, my goodness gracious. And then you got the cute firefly singing from Princess and from the Frog Prince. Oh, my God. He's so freaking cute. Falling in love with a star. Oh, can't even. My great is this whole friggin' episode. And I wrote that in our Google notes. This whole friggin' episode.
Yeah.
Loved it. Outlander is back. I want to shout it from the rooftops. I actually did. I shouted it at our pool club today. Some of our friends said they gave up in season 6. They said, we didn't know what was going on. I said, stop. Whatever you're doing, just push through. Push flipping through. Because I got to tell you, episode 1 and 2, I'm here. I'm here. I'm back. I could have used the Druids theme. Could have used that.
That would have been good. I could have used that.
But I forgive. I forgive.
Yep. Fair enough. All right.
What's your GBG?
My good. I have a tie. Okay. It is Frank's theme and Lord John's theme being used in this episode, and you know, just for the sake of
you're gonna actually do it
posterity.
Now? Okay.
It's okay.
That's a choice.
That's okay. I just gave
my
little Frank a kiss here. That's on my microphone.
You don't need to do that right now.
But whatever. There he is. Okay, good. I liked having both of those themes in there. It's just a good callback, obviously, to what Outlander was and what Outlander still is. And my other... It's just great. It's great that we can reference Frank, and it's not that like I have this obsession with Frank. But it's more along the lines of the show can go back to its own DNA, and it can reference its own mythology in this way. And it's important that we still have that emotional resonance with Bree. Like that, Frank was her daddy. Like it is what it is, and it's important to recognize that.
Yes.
Right. My other good though is finally.
You have two goods. Yes, I love this for you.
Being fracking done with the Christies. There's that one scene where Claire is talking with Ian. About Alan and how, Alan died and Malv is dead and Tom surely is dead by now. And she's like, what a waste. And I was like,
you actually said it next to me. You were like, yeah, they were.
The whole thing. the whole thing was a giant fracking waste. So I don't think that was them being meta about the whole situation. However, that's the way that I took it. And so I'm glad that we're done with the Christies.
Yes.
Like, we can move on. All right, my bad is the stuff with the Christies. And not that the story was bad, although I thought it was unnecessary. The fact of the matter is, the DNA of the show and the way that it was broken up, this, and I know I said this last episode, this should have been the finale. And then the way that this episode ended with the house blowing up, can you imagine that kind of cliffhanger?
Oh, I can, Blake.
Because that would have been phenomenal. And it brings everything back with the Wendigo Donner of it all and the Malva of it all. And everything just fell so flat. There's no, like, the big monologue at the end, the big evil villain, I was the one who impregnated her and nobody could have her except me. And then with the flashback, it just was clunky. Like, it was just like, okay, we know we need to get this over with.
Bye, Ian. Bide him for us.
Yes.
Goodbye.
I think this would have been, if these last two episodes, but especially this episode, was the finale of last season would have felt much more cohesive and much more fulfilling in terms of its own storytelling.
And as we've said before, and we'll probably have to say it again, last season didn't go the way they planned.
Yeah, but again, they're all professionals.
Stats are for nerds, Blake. Stats
figure
nerds.
It out.
Stats are for nerds.
Like, figure it out.
I love how stats are for nerds can be used in any way we want.
No, that's...
Stats are for nerds now.
Listen,
it's the shut up button. Stats are for nerds, Blake.
It only works when it suits your argument.
Stats
that's
for
the
nerds.
Problem. That's how I know. The other thing, too, I wanted to say here is... Like, when Claire's like, Tom sacrificed his life for you. And no, Tom didn't. Tom did not sacrifice his life for Alan. Like, Tom sacrificed his life for Claire. Like, come on. And then the whole thing when Alan was saying, Malva, she
you
wanted...
You really want to spend all this time
on
this?
Yeah, I do, okay. Because it's just...
Is this therapeutic
Because
for
this
you?
Is something that didn't make sense.
Okay.
When he was like, Malva, she didn't want to hurt you, and she wanted to protect you, and, like, no.
What
this
do you mean
was
no?
The girl that was poisoned in the water. This is the one that tried to kill Claire and the father. What do you mean she wanted to protect you? Like, what are you talking about? Am I taking crazy pills?
Basically, you wanted to be Claire's best friend and be like, Claire, stop having any pity.
Like, yeah, I just...
Let's get over it.
Like... Okay. No, abso-fracking-lutely not.
Okay,
like,
Blake.
And here's the one thing I will say. If there was a recognition on Alan's behalf, it was like, no, like, she didn't poison the water, it was me. Okay, then I'm buying the whole thing of she wanted to protect you and she wanted to admit it and the whole thing. That girl was evil to the core, all right? Wicked.
Rotten to the core.
We're gonna break out the Descendants again. She is rotten to the core. She is straight up hashtag Malva weird. And then all of a sudden it turns around. It's like, oh no, we I admire you, Claire. You're the only one who loved me. And yeah.
I mean, I wonder her. No, she was obviously a victim of sexual abuse her entire life, and it messed with her. So I'm not saying she's an angel, but I'm saying you got to give her a little leeway. And Claire felt that for her. Okay, just let's get over it.
All right.
This,
so,
okay?
but my poor great, Malva. My
weird,
great,
poor weird Malva.
And, but you got to admit though, the whole monologue and all that, it was just super clunky, and it was absolutely shoehorned in to wrap it up. Okay. Then my great is finally, we get some honest moments between Brianna and Jamie. Like honest moments where I have felt in seasons past that we have been told to care. You must care about Bree and Jamie. You must. Like, they'll play the sweeping music and they'll make us look at the, you know what it reminded me of? It reminded me of Rings of Power. Remember when the old Harfoot got killed? Hashtag spoilers. And
yes.
And they were like,
the wise one.
Yeah, the
map.
Wise one.
Okay.
And he's like looking out over the sunset and yeah. He's saying these wise words and it's like, they desperately want you to care about this guy. And it's just.
But he's the old Harfoot. We don't even
and it's
know
like
his name.
Nobody, okay. I don't even know the guy's name.
It'll come back to
whatever.
Me.
I mean, again, stats are for nerds, right? I have felt that way with Jamie and Bree for many seasons. But in this episode, I mean, this scene with them and the Fireflies, and then later on, genuinely moving because it's real. Like, it's something that would be said between the two.
Yes.
She joking about his wearing a three-piece suit and being like, what's Disneyland? And like, a rat? Like, what? They let the kids play with a rat? Like, all genuine, real stuff.
Yes.
And what makes it even work even further is Jamie essentially essentially, without saying so much, but implicit in it is, am I disappointing you? It's not so much that the time could be possibly disappointing Bree. It's him disappointing Bree. And the fact that she says, no, you're magical to me.
Oh, my
that
God. Yes.
In and of itself is a confirmation of that, right? And that, again, implied. It's the subtext that matters. Subtext is excellent writing, which is what happens when you have an adult at the table like Tony Graffia coming to write these episodes.
Or Diana Gabaldon, who wrote the series to begin with.
Yeah, I know, characters. but the way...
But you're saying the way that this episode came about, I agree. Tony Graffia brought her magic.
Yeah, so...
And that's something that we've been able to see with her, is that she gets these characters and she gets the powerful conversations and words that she knows we as the viewers and we as book fans look forward to, and really gets the essence of what drives this character-driven and relationship-driven parts of this story. Yeah.
And then the other scene, of course, is the real moment between Jamie and Claire when they're in bed and she is
weeping
and upset, and he's holding her in a position where you would think it's physically intimate, but it's not. It's much more physically reassuring.
Yes.
And the fact that she just weeps in his arms and she says that she doesn't know if she can move forward. Excellent stuff.
I love it.
I mean, it was
so
really great.
This
really, 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 really,
so
really great.
So freaking good.
Loved it. All right. So that is that. That's my GBG.
So before we get into the rest of the show, we wanted to remind you, dear friends, that you can follow Blake and I on Facebook and YouTube and Instagram. Just search Mary and Blake. If you're on Facebook, we do have an exclusive Facebook group where you get to nerd out with other friends. Just search Mary and Blake. We'd love to have you on in there. If you're not on our email list, I do send out emails to let you know when we are going live. And I will tell you something. There's going to be a couple of little extra changes this week. So first and foremost, we're going to have a listener feedback episode drop. So make sure you're on our email list, marianneblake.com. But also, this weekend is a pretty big deal in America. Granted, Rhode Island's independence was 2 months earlier. Yes. It was May 4th. But
we're awesome.
Our nation's independence is July 4th, and we are actually going to be traveling this weekend, and will not be here Sunday night.
Correct.
So we're going to be having our podcast episode at an earlier time.
Yes.
We're going to let you know. We're going to let you know, but make sure you're in touch with us, either through email or through text. Once again, just go to maryandblake.com.
All right, Marvin. So what... What about this episode, I mean, other than your GBG, stands out to you where you're like, I must talk about this?
I want to talk about everything because I love this episode so much.
Okay.
So can we kind of just go piece by piece? Because obviously, like, you know, we've been doing these podcast episodes now, recapping the shows for ages, for the entire time. And a lot of times there's things that really pull at us in one way or another where it's like, that other stuff is fluff or we really don't need to mention it. But I felt so strongly at almost every single aspect of this episode. And as I said, I even wrote down each time I would cry because it hit me so much. And as I was jotting my notes, I was thinking, I want to go in the order of this episode, if that's okay with you.
Yeah.
And obviously, if things come and go and we weave, not necessarily as a recap, like, oh, we're going to tell you everything that happened again. No, but we want to delve into it. So just in the beginning, when this episode kicks off, which once again, there's this long bit of episode before the opening credits happen, before the theme plays. So they've done this now a couple of times. Claire is picking flowers with her voiceover. There's even some blue flowers near her. She's picking white flowers, but there's some blue flowers near her. And it reminds me of the forget-me-nots and the series premiere, having her voiceover picking flowers. And I just thought, isn't this so beautiful? Because obviously, like, a lot of us are saying that we kind of wish that this was the season premiere for season 7. And you know what? I'm just going to make it like both episodes 1 and 2 in my brain are now just like one big thing. Because this is still Claire. This is still Claire who years ago, decades ago, started this whole entire adventure picking flowers. And we were inside of her mind. So I just loved that. And I just need to call it back. Mrs. Bug. Okay, because we talked about Alan Christie. We don't need to spend any more time here. But can we talk about Mrs. Bug?
Mrs. Bug.
Just showing on up when Ian and Claire are doing a terrible job digging a hole.
Yeah. All I could think of is, don't put away your wand, Harry.
Yes. You're a wizard, Harry.
Yes, absolutely.
I'm a squib. It's okay. I didn't like him either. Where'd she get a hole? She's just like, I'll help you. And whips out a friggin' hoe from her hoo-ha or somewhere. I have no idea. But she's got like a full out. I felt like, does she have a travel little, like,
you know, travel hoe.
A little travel thing or the little rake, like the little things you might bring in your gardening basket. A hoe comes out of nowhere. And she's digging away with them. Do you trust Mrs. Bug?
Okay, well, first of all, abso-freaking-lutely not. That woman's got an agenda. I don't know what that agenda is
quite
yet.
Well, did you see what happened later in the episode?
Yeah, I mean, we got
some... This is where I'm saying we're going to weave some things in. So we got Bug.
And here's another thing,
Did you bug out about Bug, or were you like, meh, I'll deal with you later?
Nah, it's whatevs. Like, and the other thing, too, is this. Claire and Ian... not so great at hide. These guys ain't, they're not Whitey Bulger, okay? They're not hiding bodies in the best places.
Who are these guys? Who is this
Claire and Ian.
Okay. They're not Whitey Bulger, yeah. Okay.
Let's calm down here. Like, if you're hiding a body, you don't hide it next to the freaking highway. Like, people are just walking on this road. Mrs. Bug just going for a drive.
Yeah.
Hanging out, man. I'm here, like, picking berries. I don't know. And you're just hiding a body next to this road? What are we talking about?
I mean, this isn't your first rodeo.
I know. Like, they should all know better.
Agreed. Okay, so you think it's their own fault that Mrs. Bug stumbled upon them with her hoe?
I don't... Do you think that she's carrying just an extra hoe? I don't think that she's carrying an extra hoe.
I don't know. Did Ian bring two hoes? Was he going to, like... Ninchuk with two hoes, like a shovel hoe, shovel hoe, shovel hoe, shovel hoe.
Shovel hoe, shovel hoe. Not only can he wield two knives, he can wield a shovel and a hoe at the same time. He's that efficient. Yeah, I guess. I don't know.
Okay, so anyway. But what I'm saying is she's shady just walking around. And then later in the episode when we got Wendigo Donner,
give me your gemstones, give me your gold.
Yeah. Give me whatever. And then they come out and it's so flipping quick, okay? They get some stuff And out some comes some gold, and they're like, Gaelic, 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 Gaelic. And Wendigo Donner's like, stop it! Stop this gibberish! Which is kind of insulting.
Okay? He's kind of like, if you come to this country, speak the language!
Yeah, exactly! I was like, Wendigo, come on! Don't say that, you're being freaking rude, Wendigo Donner.
Man.
But, Jamie got pissed!
He was not happy. Not happy about what Wendigo was doing when he found out that name.
No, he wasn't happy at the bugs. See, you missed it. It's so quick.
Oh, yeah, no, he was pissed at the bugs, too, with the gold. And yeah, what are you doing?
I'm on the bugs. What are you doing? I'm on the bugs. Okay.
I got you.
So I'm just saying, how do you feel about her? You said you don't care. She's shady, but whatever.
I absolutely have 0.0 interest in Mrs. Bug. None.
That's okay.
Don't care.
For now. I do need to say, because I noticed some weird things. And this was something that really stood out to me.
Is this like an Adam's apple level?
This is, yeah.
Okay. All right. Wow.
Claire's hair in this particular scene.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Is so much longer than other scenes. And I don't know if it's because, so we hear rain, but we don't see rain. So I didn't know if like, okay, are we supposed to think that it was raining on them and it wet her hair and dragged it down? But it is significantly shorter in subsequent scenes. And in the scene, even when she was in the graveyard with Alan, and now she's got hair as long as I do in this scene.
Yep.
Now, later in this episode, when time has passed, she's got a nice long braid, but time has passed. But after this, when other things are happening, her hair's short again. And her hair still did have a wave in this episode, so I was trying to think, like, is
No, you can't account for that kind of length.
It was a lot longer, so it was just distracting. And so I don't know if they, like, switched a wig or if the wig did get wet. I had no idea. I'm just saying this scene.
It was like super long, and then it was barely above shoulder length later on.
Yes.
Which, again, stats are for nerds, like whatever. But come on, man. Like, that's a fairly big continuity thing that you should, like, the editor or the set, like.
The wig master.
The wig master, whoever that might be. They got to figure that out.
Yeah, it was distracting. And it shouldn't, and like, hair shouldn't be distracting, okay? We've moved on from Wiggate, okay?
Yeah,
we're done with this.
You mean the dead spider on Sam's head?
Yes, we know, Blake. We know. Then, of course, after this, we do get the opening song. Sinead O'Connor, you know, actually, I didn't loathe it this time.
I'm liking the end better.
That's what I was, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay? So
the end is growing on me.
Because it was like creepy old Disneyland footage.
Yes.
Could that last? Yeah. And like the really creepy looking Mickey.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh God, this just made me feel weird feels about Disney. Like, I don't like this. Because it was weird. But in the opening bits and the opening song, we get to see Bree putting the gemstone in Jimmy's pocket. Mm-hmm. We get to see Lord John giving his gem to Jamie.
Yes.
And then we also get the scene of Jamie and Claire riding horseback. So we now have four things that have been covered in just these two episodes of the little clips that happen in the intro, which leads me to believe, because we're flying through these shots, okay? They nailed three of them in episode two alone. I think we're going to have a completely whole new opening for the back half of this season.
I agree with you on that.
And I hope it's a different song. I mean, I know I just said I was warming up to it. But
no, it's still, it's too, like, if it, this is going to sound really bad, but if it was younger Sinead O'Connor, I could buy it. I still don't understand why she's got to be the one that's singing it. If this was like 1996, 1997 Sinead O'Connor, okay, I'm in.
Okay, but how do you feel about the fact that we're flying through these little clips that we would be seeing in the montages with the music?
Yeah, no, they're totally gonna redo the intro.
Isn't it exciting?
It is exciting because it almost reminds me of when they went from France to Scotland.
Exactly, that's what I'm saying.
Two. Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's what I'm hoping happens.
Okay.
Something along those lines.
I like it.
And
wouldn't it be fun if we had a bit, I don't know, like, because we're trying to, those of us who know the future, we're trying to figure out, okay, like, where are these eight episodes going to end, and where will episode nine begin? I don't know. Okay, music stops.
Can I pull in some?
Is this going to be like a little theory?
Can I? Yeah.
Can we get some music?
An
outlandish theory of the week this early?
Well, then, all right.
This
could
be, you can multiple, Blake.
All right, All right, so I'm pulling in some knowledge that I got from the trailer for season 7. All right. Okay. The trailer for season 7 shows Jamie laying on the ground and he's all like it looks like he's dead.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. They obviously put that in there for a purpose. It just, again, it is what it is, right? My sense is, this kind of runs with my actual planned Outlandish Theory of the Week. All right, so whatever, here we go. This Outlandish Theory of the Week is brought to you by Minute with Mary. Go to MinuteWithMary.com, and if you need anything Mary, like makeup or skincare or advice on how to take advantage of your makeup, I don't know. I don't do this read. I just started it.
Okay. I love you.
This is why I'm not the host.
It's okay.
Anyway, here's my Outlandish Theory of the Week. I bet. Now, this is like a an amalgam of two theories.
Okay.
One, I bet that this season ends with the Battle of Saratoga, let's say. And Jamie ends up getting shot in some sort of fashion. And one of the parting shots of the season is Jamie laying on the ground. The shot that we saw in the trailer. And everybody thinks that he's dead. And I think what happens, and this is my original theory, so this is the second theory, the reason why he's in that position is because he is obviously going to come into some kind of confrontation with his son. And he's not going to know that it's his son right away. And then what will happen is he will realize it is his son. And in the moment of, in the heat of the battle, he runs and takes a shot for his son. And
I'm not throwing away my shot.
And in a way that is reminiscent of Murtaugh, or something happens in a way that kind of mirrors Murtaugh's death, but with Jamie on the other end. So we will leave this season with Jamie being shot. Everyone thinks that he's dead. The son thinks that he's dead and that he's going to bring the news to Lord John. Lord John will tell Claire, and it'll be a whole thing. And that'll be that.
That's really interesting. I love that you got from Shanae to there.
I know, right?
You're deep, Blake. You're real deep.
Maybe that's why.
And
she sounds like she's dying.
Here's another thing I was thinking of, too.
Okay.
So we had this little...
I had no idea we were going here.
I know. This is like...
I need all my interestings.
You know what it is? I didn't have a bad take.
For friends who don't know, Blake hasn't read the books. I have, so I just have to awkwardly say interesting a lot. His Outlandish theories.
It wasn't a bad take. It was a lukewarm take with the Wendigo Donner thing.
It was bad, Blake.
It wasn't bad.
I mean, friends watching live, wasn't his take last week bad? It wasn't fart sound bad.
No.
But.
It was not a lazy take, okay? It was kind of lazy.
Like, you can't be kinda. That word doesn't exist.
It's like when you're supposed to be
like
jogging, but you're walking.
It's not like Rey with the Force, okay?
Don't you dare besmirch.
I'm just saying. She thinks she can dabble, okay? But no. It's light or dark. That's it. There's no gray.
Only a Sith deals in absolutes.
All right, are we still talking about another theory? Oh, yes. My God. I just want to talk about Jamie and babies.
So here we go.
Hurry up.
So Fergus.
That man talking to Bairns.
It's a blink and you'll miss moment. Fergus is the one that writes the announcement about baby Amanda getting born and the whole thing. And they read it in the paper.
I didn't miss that moment.
Okay, but I'm just saying.
I loved it. And Bree gets the quilt. I'm here.
And the reason why Jamie and Claire are written in the paper that they died in the fire is because Fergus was the one that printed it because he thinks that they actually did die. Like, Jamie and Claire are keeping their identities or keeping, the fact that they didn't die. Like, close to the chest. I just wonder. I'm throwing that out there. Fergus thinks that they're actually dead and prints it.
Aww.
And he prints it the same way that he does the
thing. Does he print it with his tears in it?
Yeah, so it comes out a little splotchy.
Little hook.
Yeah, and that's the reason why
the heart I love Fergus is made of two hooks. Two halves of folks.
And that's the reason why the date is smudged out, because it's Fergus Tyr. So that's what I'm thinking.
Okay.
That's what I'm thinking.
Interesting.
And they're keeping it close to the vest because I wonder if Jaime feels a little bit of problems with the fact that maybe he's associated with the Sons of Liberty and he's going to go fight the Revolutionary War. Mm. And, you know, he doesn't want anybody to know. I don't know. I'm just throwing it out there.
All right.
Just
can we talk about Jaime with babies?
Yes.
Hard shift.
All the Jaime baby thing.
If I need to see a montage of Jaime holding wee bairns, talking to wee little ones, because James Fraser was ripped of having the chance of having his children as little ones in his arms. And I just friggin' adore watching him talking to Mandy he's with the foal. And he's even the fact that like he was there for Mandy's birth, the whole family is obviously there during sometimes like what might just be like, well, this is women's time or this is too difficult for us to watch. You know that Roger and Jaime are there for birth, I think is so freaking cool. And then, of course, he takes her to the stable and Fraser's Ridge theme is playing underneath as he's telling her, I'm going to teach you how to be a bra equestrian. And I loved that. And then, of course, you know, her name just means she who is loved, and you could just see that. You see that throughout this entire episode, that she is loved from afar by Fergus. She is loved by the community through the quilt. She is loved by her grandparents. And then, of course, goes to Granny saying, I'm going to teach you all of these medicines. So we have both parents saying, like, this is something I'm passionate about, and I can't wait to teach you this. And when you watch this as your rewatch and you realize that they now look back on those moments with so much sadness, that they had such high hopes of like raising this beautiful granddaughter and teaching her all of these things. And now that dream is also being ripped away from them, whether it's because she perishes or because she's in another time frame. I'm knocking over Funko Pops while I'm talking. We then get, of course, the issue of her heart. Mm-hmm. And I think it's so bloody brilliant, biology. How with the baby's first breath, this happens.
Isn't that crazy?
Listen, life is a miracle.
Life finds a way,
and
Mary.
And babies are friggin' amazing. Like, they take this breath and this happens.
Yes.
They say that they're trying to figure out, like, how a baby knows that it's time to come on out. And it's like, some people think it's like when this one particular aspect of their body is done formulating, that something changes and then it tells the body, okay, now's my time. Like, it is just so incredible. And there's still so much for us to learn.
Yeah.
I love it. I absolutely love it. And when Bree and Roger are sad, Bree's saying she didn't nurse like Jaime did. And Roger's saying, yeah, she was wheezing, but I didn't think much of it. And Claire calms him down. She says, your parents not doctors.
Yeah.
I felt that as a parent.
Totally. 100%. Absolutely.
So that's when I started crying, because I felt that. I have felt so disappointed in myself. How did I not see this? How did I not know this? How did I not do X, Y, Z? And it's like, your parents, you're not know-it-alls. You're not do-it-alls. Like, you are just learning as you go. And
they
I loved that.
They don't come with a manual.
Right? I loved that moment of just, like, compassion that Claire was able to give them. That we're not judging you. You did nothing wrong. There's no way you could have known about this completely rare thing. And then Bree's tears and nose snot in this moment. Because in case you guys don't know, Blake and I pay attention to the single tears.
Yes.
We love the single tears.
We learned that from This Is Us and Randall.
Right? Like, there are
the
some
master
moments.
Of the
I mean,
single
Jaime,
tear.
Jaime Fraser has some beautiful, Sam Heughan as Jaime, like, has some beautiful tears as
That's
well.
That's true, yep.
But Bree had a runny nose. And she even, like, wipes her nose for a moment. You could tell that she'd been crying, and they really made sure that she was in character in, like, absolute and utter despair with this diagnosis. And I loved that they kept that, because sometimes on TV things are too pretty.
Sure.
And I hate pretty crying on TV because I am an ugly crier. Mm-hmm. My nose runs right away. As soon as tears come out of my eyes, tears are coming out of my nose.
Yeah.
That's where the charming goes, friends, okay?
All the charming.
All the charming just goes for my nostrils, you know? And like, I'm like, I got like that whole thing going on. And I loved this because obviously she was crying so much, Sophie, that her nose did start to run, because that's what bloody happens when you cry so much, your nose runs. And I love that they kept it in because it was so real, and that made me cry even more.
Right.
Because I'm like, God, she's feeling it. Like, she did it so much. And then she looks at Claire. Bree looks at Claire, and she says, can you fix it? And Claire says, no, I can't. That. And it reminded me of when Jamie brings Murtaugh in.
Oh.
And he says, fix him. Yeah. Can you fix it?
Oh, brutal.
Oh my God.
I actually totally forgot about that scene.
See, at Buffalo, and now Murtaugh. This is what I'm here for, Blake. But it reminded me of that, of Claire's loved ones who don't understand the limits of what she can and cannot do.
Yeah.
And here she is, having them, her most beloved people, her husband and her daughter, asking, can you save this person who I love dearly, who is like my second most important person in my life? Mm-hmm. And she can't. And then, Sam, Jamie, even with the ether? Like, he thinks the ether's the fix-it-all.
Yeah, yeah.
He's like, why didn't we keep this junk around here, if not to fix a baby? Why do we have it?
It's like the duct tape of the 18th century.
Even with the duct tape? You sure you can't? How about a match?
Just figure that out?
How about the peanut butter? Can the peanut butter fix it? You guys keep from the freaking future, and you're telling me you can't fix this? Come on! How about the water wheel? Let's do this.
Mary, you're on fire tonight.
All right. So we get into the Max house, and Roger's freaking out. And I love this. Yeah, Roger's like, I don't know. Can't she travel? I don't know. I don't know what she can do. We messed it up the last time we came. You want to go back? I don't even know what we're going to do.
Yeah.
This sucks. Right. And now all of us, and I don't even know. And Bree says, I will take her alone. I came here to save my parents, but I will do anything to save our daughter.
Yeah, absolutely. And I love how Outlander, this episode felt very Outlander to me.
Very Outlander?
Yeah.
Okay. Not Outlander, but Outlander. Kind of like Atlanta, but Outlander.
Yes, it felt very Outlander to me. It felt Outlander because we do have the magic. We do have the intimacy between Claire and Jamie, but in a different way, in a more evolved emotional way that I just really loved. It felt like
Outlander.
It felt like Outlander. Yeah. It feels like they're moving in a direction that, like, they recognize and acknowledge that time travel is just an essential part of what they're having to do. Mm-hmm. That's what needs to be part of the DNA of what's happening on the show. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, it's just another show that takes place in the 18th century. Mm-hmm. That's what it comes down to.
Friends who are watching live, if you agree, just put Outlander. Okay? Just put it. So we know that you feel it too.
Oh, man.
Jamie. Not only is he holding a baby and speaking to a baby in this episode, which Jenny was right, he's got magic when he talks to babes, to bairns. But we get glasses Jamie for a moment, just a little moment.
Oh, glasses Jamie works, baby.
Oh, glasses Jamie. Like, once again, I didn't even need sex in this episode. I got Jamie talking to baby. I got glasses Jamie. I got so many great things. I mean, and I cried a million times.
Yeah.
But glasses Jamie does something to me.
Oh, yes,
with his
it
wee
does.
Little spectacles. And this is the scene, of course, where he's just looking, and Claire's thinking, maybe I can do it. And Claire's got that doctor magic going on, where she says, I can feel my fingers working.
Yeah.
And Claire's hair is long again in this scene.
Yes. Mm-hmm. One of the PAs messed up or something. I don't know what happened.
Just mixing them all up. See if people notice. And then Jamie says, I know one thing we can do, and that is to pray. And I love this because Jamie's faith is really important to him in the books, and we don't necessarily we don't have a lot of room for that in this television series.
Yeah.
But I just love that here for show watchers and just for us as book readers, we get to have it just reaffirmed for us that this is big, strong Jamie. This is like the man of the ridge. This is, you know what I mean? Like, this is the guy. And yet here he is, the protector of his family, and he's seeking peace and help through prayer.
Yeah, because he has no other option.
Yeah.
You know, and
but he's at peace with
right,
it.
Right, right, yeah.
You know what I mean? He's not like, he's not like Roger, like, oh my God, what do we do? What do we do? What do we do? He's like, this is what we can do.
Yeah.
And I love that because I feel like Jamie, being a Taurus, he's like, I'm going to figure out all the options of what we can do.
Sure.
And I'm a Taurus. I struggle a lot when there isn't an option to try.
Oh, yes. So, right? Like that we have had, I don't want to say arguments, but we've had many a conversation where it's just like, Mary, there's just nothing that we can do.
Or
like,
we nothing just have we can to do wait. More now. Yes. Yeah, we have to have the patience.
Yes.
And I love that he is able to be at peace with his patients through prayer. And of course, having the saint, the patron of horsemen.
Oh, yes.
That he prays to. I think it's so stinking cute.
Yeah. It's great because, again, I think they're writing Jamie a lot better this season. There's more of him.
This is real Jamie.
This is more of him that is coming out as a real person.
There's humor in this episode.
Yeah. I mean, when he talks about Michael the Mouse, yes. Like, dude, that stuff is gold. That is gold.
Agreed.
And I don't care if it's straight from the books or not. The fact of the matter is the writers have to recognize what works and what doesn't work.
Mm-hmm.
And how do they put it into the lexicon of what this show is trying to accomplish, mm-hmm. right?
This is our Jamie.
And this... They have to know what makes a real character. And this is why, again, I say it, you have an adult at the table like Toni Graffia who is a spectacular writer. And she's able to see what works, what doesn't work, how to put it in there, what not to put in,
mm-hmm.
and go from there. I mean, the fact that we have Jamie, as you said, Mary, kind of just letting go a little bit, like letting go of his ability to affect the ending and saying we should just pray. Like let's
not
pray on
just,
this.
But that is the choice.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, that it's not a hopeless. It's like this is where we do put our hope.
This is where we can
yes.
This is how we can affect
and that things. Is super important for Jamie and
it's
his
also,
character.
It's also an important follow-up to his choice that he made with Tom Christie in the last episode. And again, that's why I always say, well, I have been saying this is the perfect finale for season 6 because so much of these choices and so many of these moves are wrapping up all of season 6, but giving us enough to get to season 7 where you'd be mm-hmm. like, I mean, Bree and Roger going through the stones, the house blowing up at the end, Wendigo, Donna, the whole thing, the confession from Alan, you know, seeing what happened. This is just gold for what would be season 6.
Something just occurred to me. We didn't get any resolution with Mr. Brown. With the closing of last week's episode where it fades to black.
Yeah, so I think there's enough there to, again, Agreed. Be implicit.
Agreed.
You know.
But I just thought it was interesting.
Yeah, and I'm glad that they kind of...
They don't need it.
They don't.
We spent so much time with the Malva stuff in this episode that we don't need it.
When you make that choice to go to black... You stick with that.
I like it.
And that's that. Like, you've made that artistic choice. Go with it.
All right. So, here we are with Jemmy. We Jemmy.
Can read his sister's thoughts.
I didn't know if you were going to miss that.
What is he like a Betazoid from Star Trek? Just like...
What is that? I don't know, Blake. I don't do Star Trek. There are many things that we enjoy together, but alas, Star Trek is not one of them.
Just reading thoughts.
So they, yeah, they
yeah,
ask
she,
him.
Yeah, she hears that.
Can you hear this, Storm? He's like, yep.
Yep.
By the way, BT Dubs, baby Mandy got it too.
What?
How do you know, Jemmy? Claire's face when he says that is like.
Oh my God.
What, come now? She told me. She told me.
So Jamie must be like, all right. Wait, hold on.
Jamie? Jemmy? Yeah. Who are you
Jamie.
Trying to say?
Jamie okay, must
I
be like,
I don't know what's your accent sometime. Who are you talking about?
Jamie must be like, wait, all right, time out. Hold on.
Jamie.
You can walk through stones. This kid can hear his sister's thoughts.
And yet Bree says, I'm magical?
Yeah.
I'm the least magical out of all of these people.
How is it that you can't fix this kid's heart? You walk through stone. Again, figure it out. Why don't you magic up a healing solution?
Oh my God. Oh, I'm glad you picked that up because I didn't know if you skipped that just like the Gaelic gibberish.
Oh, no, no. How can you skip past this three-year-old kid? What? I don't even know how old he is.
He's very young
sure,
in the show.
Whatever. Stats are for nerds.
Yeah.
And this kid can hear his sister's thoughts.
Yes.
That is some... That's Malva weird. Like, that is... Okay. Whoa.
That's Jemmy weird.
That's Jemmy weird.
Okay, so Jemmy then has an airplane because we got to see him with a carved car, the vroom vroom.
Yes.
From before, and now he has an airplane, and I love that he's playing with that, and I also love the little transition that he's playing with it great. When they make it through the stones. I thought it was a flippin' amazing. So as we get into Wilmington, we get all of the family coming on in, and we see a cart wheeling massive cannons.
Yeah.
So I just think that that was a really neat thing, because the conversation that we have with William and Lord John and Jamie that we get in this particular area revolves obviously around the impending revolution. So I loved, it's a small little thing, but it's like they're just subtly saying like, war is here. War is coming. Mm-hmm. It's really bad. Like, we've got cannons in the streets bringing, like, being corded back and forth. So I just thought it was neat. And Bree gets to meet her brother, William.
All right, so my question... The ninth Earl of Ellesmere. So there's a lot of things that we could talk about here, and the low-hanging fruit is, oh, she gets to see him, but she can't say that she's his sister, and, like, the whole thing. And the, obviously, again, the low-hanging fruit here is the reunion with Lord John, and... But the real question, I think...
The real question is, why don't they let William go to Boston? I mean, obviously, Blake, Boston's the best.
Just because...
Your cousin. From Boston.
You're welcome. I'm not actually asking why he can't go to Boston. No, I just knew you wanted to use that sound effect.
My question to you, Mary, and I think that the real debate here is Bree correct? Does William deserve to know that Jamie is his father? Or are Jamie and Lord John correct that he should never know? And I am desperate to hear your answer to this.
Hmm. I mean, it's interesting, isn't it?
So clearly this is playing a role later on in the season or later on.
Very interesting, Blake.
In future seasons.
An interesting question to ask yourself.
I would say... I would say this. If I had...
It's like the Matrix question, right? Do you take the blue pill? Do you take the red pill?
Yeah.
Do you want to stay in the Matrix or do you want to know the truth?
You always take the blue pill.
You always want to know the
truth? Oh, no, the red pill. Whatever the truth pill was. I think it was the red pill.
I was voted in by my marching band that I was going to take the not truth one. That was like something in our marching band yearbook. Is who would take the not truth pill. And they put me.
Such a dork.
Come on, guys. And I was like, well, I probably wouldn't want to do all that stuff, man. They had to do. That looked really bad.
Yeah. You know, the whole thing. No thanks. I'm like Cypher. I'll gladly take a blood red steak any day. Ignorance is bliss.
Okay. So interesting. But we get Jamie to see his children together.
Yeah. That's a beautiful little moment for him right there.
And the little acknowledgement between he and Lord John, the little nod. Ooh, you see this? I see this, but I'm going to walk away.
Yeah, well, because he knows he has to, right? Like,
when Bree's walking with Lord John, having that conversation, which you were just mentioning, she holds her basket in a really weird way.
Oh, really?
I'm not going to lie. She has it like kind of under one arm. The other arm is crossed. She's holding it. And I was thinking, if I had a basket full of a journey's worth of bread, which probably would be quite heavy, I wouldn't be holding it that way. It looks really uncomfortable, but maybe they needed to keep both hands in the shot because that's like... There's something to be said if you can't see people's hands in a shot, viewers feel uncomfortable.
Sure.
So that's why you always see newscasters.
They
call it the peanut. You have to hold your hands like you're about to twist a peanut, and they do it around their belly button.
Oh, look at you.
So that's why you always see people on TV with their hands. And I was like, is this the basket peanut hand? What's going on? So I do want to try to recreate how she held it at some point soon, because it was an awkward way of holding it.
All right, before we continue on with the rest of this episode, I want to talk about our partners in crime here at Outlander Cast, who helped make this episode All right, so we want to thank WeBox. And Mary, tell me about WeBox.
Oh my goodness gracious. It is a subscription service that you can sign up for or you can gift somebody. And it's magical. I mean, talk about flipping.
Is it as magical as Jamie?
I mean,
happens? Is it as magical as CGI fireflies?
Oh, that's better. It's better than that, I'll tell you what. Because basically, it's designed to share Scotland with Scots and Scots at heart all over the world. So every wee box is carefully curated around a monthly theme with 5 bonnie gifts and treats, which are exclusive and can't be bought outside of Scotland. It's a great value. There's a free magazine written with Scotland's top journalists, free exclusive tour with the internet sensation Andy the Highlander, plus a soundtrack to listen to as you unbox and use your gift. So this is a multi-sensory gift.
Oh, yeah.
Okay?
You don't mess around.
And even just the fact that the gifts are wrapped in, like, newspaper from Scotland.
Oh, I love
that bit.
It's
so cool. It really is super, super special. The contents of each weed box are worth much more than what you pay for it. And it supports small Scottish businesses, craftsmen, and its environment and charities, too. So, I'm telling you, we love WeeBox. If you love Scotland or you have someone in your life who does, you're going to want to check this out because you can go to weebox.co.uk and use the code CAST10, that's CAST10, for a 10% off at checkout. So once again, WeeBox, that's weebox.co.uk, and use the code CAST10 for 10% off at checkout. What's not to love?
What's not to love about
right?
that?
Seriously.
You tell them that we sent you. And it'll make us all happy. Make us all happy.
You will be so happy.
All right, Marvin, are you buying the finality of the conversation between Lord John and Jamie? Because I will say this. The goodbyes and all that other stuff. Yes, it's a big emotional moment when Jamie is saying to Roger, and again, this is another reason why I would think that this is a perfect season 6 finale. You know, we've come so far with Roger and Jamie where Jamie's like, I thought you were a lightweight. And by the way,
and now
Roger is a lightweight.
Stop.
But now I'm proud of you.
Okay. And you should be too.
And then also on the other hand, Roger at the same time got his ass handed to him by Jamie. And he thought that Jamie was nothing but just like kind of, you know, a blockhead, you know. And at the same time, we have Roger now saying, I'm proud to call you my father-in-law. Like, I'm proud to call you family. Mm-hmm. I'm just so thankful.
So your question is about Lord John and Jamie?
Yes. What I'm saying
change?
Is like all of the goodbyes in this episode, it all kind of, even though it was emotional, it all kind of rang hollow to mm-hmm. me because you know that it's not goodbye forever. Like, we as viewers know it's not goodbye forever. Like, Roger and Bree are going to come back. Somehow, some way, it's happening. It just, they're not done. And they're definitely not done with the show, number one. And then number two, they're definitely not done with Jamie and Claire. Just not done. Whether or not Jamie and Amanda come back, I don't know. I'm not sure. But
maybe they go on Star Trek Enterprise.
Yeah. And the same thing with Lord John and Jamie. Yes, the goodbye is an emotional one. It's one where there is this want and need to live their life and they recognize.
Okay, so I guess I don't understand. Like,
it just rings hollow because I know that it's not the end of their relationship.
Are you saying it rings hollow for you as the viewer? Because
yes.
You're just like, I know, just like, I know, Jamie, you know, we'll be okay or whatever you like to say. Like,
yeah.
Is that just cynical, Blake? Well, you know what? You can live in that world. But for me, this was really emotional. And Lord John's face when Jamie leaves, I really wish they could get a hug in instead of just like a hand hug when he gives him the jewel.
Yeah.
And even in silence, I will remain your most humble friend. He's kept this gem for 20 freaking years. And when...
Well, that was great. That was spectacular.
Beautiful. Exactly. So I'm saying I feel it. I'm saying I feel it and I'm here for it. And this is goodbye. This is goodbye. And when Jamie leaves... And there's a shot on Lord John Grey, and there's like half of his face is lit, the other half of his face is dark. But the way that they lit the gleam and the tears in his eyes was so beautiful. And he got so much tears in his eyes that it reflected twice. It was like there was that much liquid that there was double reflection from this light. And I felt it. And that's another moment, just like how when Claire said, you know, you're not doctors, you're parents. I felt this when your eyes are so full of water or tears.
Sure.
That they really feel like they're going to burst. Like that is just, oh my God, my heart broke. So that was the third time I cried.
So I want to.
So yes, Blake, I felt it. I believed it.
I do want to say this. I imagine that there are a bunch of nerds that are out there right now as I'm saying this.
Okay.
And they're like, well, the characters don't know that it's not going to be
Blake,
the last.
That's what I'm saying.
I know. And I understand that. And I get it. And that's why I'm saying as a viewer, to me, it's not as emotional as I want it to be because I know that it's just not the end. I don't doubt the fact that these characters are saying goodbye to each other and they really care about it and that they aren't feeling these feelings. I'm saying for me as a viewer, honestly, I didn't cry.
That's okay.
I didn't cry because
you don't have a heart.
But I did cry. I did cry at the two scenes that I mentioned.
Yes, I know.
Which is the moment between Bree and Jamie, mm-hmm. and the moment between Jamie and Claire.
Yeah.
Because those are real honest moments.
Okay.
For both and when you have real honest moments.
But this is real honest moments for these characters.
But I was just about to say this. When you have real honest moments that both the characters and the viewer can engage in,
okay.
That's when you know it's spectacular. Because at that moment, anything can happen. Anything.
All right.
And that's what makes it.
I like want to challenge us on so many different levels, but I appreciate.
No, that's okay. I'm glad that you want to challenge it. Like that's the whole point, and I'm happy to do that.
Yeah.
I'm just saying.
You're saying that you watching it, you were like, guys, this isn't going to be for goodbye. Stop your tears, Lord John.
No. I don't not think that Lord John is upset. Like I don't think that. You know, Bree thinks I'm going to see my mother again. Like, I don't think that.
Yeah.
But just me as a viewer, yeah. I'm watching this and I'm not getting wrapped up in the emotion of it.
Okay.
Because I know.
You know, I'm okay with this, Blake. I'm okay with you feeling this way.
Yeah.
Because I got to tell you, no matter how things unfurl, you're going to be so surprised in this season by many things. Because I know that you like pride yourself like, meh, I saw this coming. Wendigo Donner's going to play a role. Like. Just hold on tight, Spider Monkey.
Yeah.
Hold on tight.
Well, listen, I didn't, again, Wendigo Donner was a little bit of a lazy take. Today's take, it was a much better take. Okay? Much better. I will say, though, especially about Alan and the Christies, I was 100% right with those outlandish theories.
Okay, so, Jamie goes on a walk with Bree, and here is the Firefly moment. I think that they are absolutely positively magical.
Mm-hmm.
I love his catching it. I love that she says it reminds her of Disneyland and it made me think of twinkle lights and I love twinkle lights at Christmas. It made me feel like Christmas and just the bokeh effect, that B-O-K-E-H, however you say it, bokeh, whatever it is. I love it.
Oh, it's great.
It
felt like a magical moment between the two.
And I think that that's why I'm totally okay with these fireflies.
Yeah, absolutely.
I loved when she said it's a place where stories come to life because in that moment I was like, my stories come to life. Like this story that I love that I read with paper and this beautiful book, like here it is coming to life. And how cool is that to have like this kind of double feeling? You know what I mean? Of you're watching it through Bree's eyes, but like you as a viewer being like, oh, and that's how I feel about Outlander.
It's like
Outlander's
pseudo,
my Disneyland.
Pseudo breaking the fourth wall.
Yes.
Like it's not quite going over that line, but it's definitely towing that line.
Mm-hmm.
Loved that moment.
And
that's why I say stats are for nerds, because it creates an emotion. And again, in a scene in which anything can happen, that is when you know you have a good scene.
This scene, the Firefly sounds were really, really cool.
Yeah.
I like to
listen. The little fluttering.
Yeah. Blake was laughing at me because I like to listen to episodes sometimes if I wanted to catch up on some different things or pay attention a bit more to musical cues. I will not visually watch it. I will listen to it in my car driving. And see, you just laughed. but after you've seen the episode a couple of times, I'm telling you, if you are just all in with Outlander and you're like, what else can I do to bring to elevate my experience so much more? Try this.
Yeah.
Listen to it in bed. Listen to it in the car. But make sure you have like a good either headphones on or that there's not a lot of other distractions. But I just love the Firefly sounds. I felt transported back to camping myself. And and just being and hearing the fireflies. They're such like beautiful, slow moving bugs, and they do hover in a same spot, and you just see their light glow, and then it goes out, but then it's just a couple inches away because they're just like moseying around a little bit. So the shirt that I need is Mickey Mouse in a kilt.
Okay.
And underneath it says Michael Mouse.
Total, I'm in.
Because we will be the only people, Outlander fans, who get that.
Yes.
Other people will not.
They'll be like,
understand
what?
It at all.
Mary, yes. I am in.
Thank you.
I am in. And here's another thing I will say. Mm-hmm. For anybody that wants a Michael Mouse shirt, if we get 950 patrons, mm-hmm. I will give you all, whoever requests it, a Michael Mouse shirt. That's how much I care about that shirt.
Okay.
That is how much I care about that shirt. If we get 950 members that join the Nerd Clan, anybody at that's a member at Join the Nerd Clan that wants a Michael Mouse shirt, I will get it to you.
Tammy's warning us, be careful of the Disney IP. Blake will be careful.
Now we'll make it different enough so that it won't be like, you know,
in your face,
obvious, you know.
Oh my god, I just needed to share that. And of course is where
so go to jointhenerdclan.com, become a member. Yes. And if you request one, if we get 950, I will get it to you.
Awesome. And this is where we just get more of Jamie's humor. And as I said, I just felt like this was our Jamie Fraser in this episode, and I just couldn't get enough of it. And when Bree says you're magical to me, I just was like, Outlander is magical to me too.
Yes.
Jamie, of course, saying he wishes he could go into the future. And this is, you know, this moment that you were talking about, Blake, where he's like, you can walk through stones, you can do this, you can do that. This must be really hard for him. And I wonder if there's moments where he sits with Ian on the porch and he's like, this kind of sucks, right? What kind of magic can you do?
Right.
And Ian's like, well,
I can shoot an arrow.
Yeah, yeah. And Jamie's like, cool. well, about that. So, I don't know. But of course, he has this dream. And we get some of this clip from the trailer, mm-hmm. The electric light. And there's like all around you.
Yeah.
And Claire's so cute. And she's like, oh, Jamie, that's the future. How could you know? He's, you know, you don't know what that is. And he's like, but don't you dream of things that you've never seen before all the time?
Sure.
And I love their discussion about dreams. You and I just recently were talking about dreams. I forget which podcast it was, but we were talking about when you dream yourself, are you a person that you can see yourself?
Oh,
in
yeah,
it,
yeah, yeah, yeah.
Or is okay. it always through your eyes?
It was for Harry Potter. Mm. It was for
so
the Potter.
So what was your answer? When you are dreaming.
I always dream through my eyes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I don't always. I do, and sometimes I see myself there. Like, I see what I'm wearing.
That's
I see what
wild.
I'm doing.
Like, you see yourself like, in the third person.
Like I was watching a show
yeah,
of
yeah.
me.
That is wild.
But I do both. I do some through my eyes and then others where I see myself.
Maybe that's why you get a better score on your SATs.
Who knows, man? It could also be why I talk in my sleep. So.
The longest running joke in Mary and Blake media history
yes.
is Mary got it's a much SAT better score on her SATs than I did.
What did I talk about recently in my sleep? That was embarrassing.
Oh, no, you talked about the icebergs in your eye.
Yeah, that was bad.
Ooh.
I think it was the whole Titanic stuff and the sub.
Oh, the
sub. And then James Cameron and Bob Ballard talking about the Titanic with the icebergs. So I must have had icebergs on my head. Anyway, fun fact, Bob Ballard, who found the Titanic.
From
professor
URI.
At URI.
Yes.
Yeah. Rhode Island, you're welcome.
Go, Rhodey.
You're welcome. Jamie. Son of a gun is this little gem.
Yeah, right?
And, you know, I had this. Should I be killed? You can go back. But he says, but if you want to go with them now, you can. And I love that Jamie continually gives Claire this choice.
Yes.
Of like, listen, you don't belong here. Now everyone else you love is going away. Like, the war doesn't look good. I'm not as brave. I keep hearing this is going to be bad. You sure you want to stay? Because last time things got bad, you did leave.
Yeah.
And I wouldn't blame you. And she throws it away, and then we get some more humor, but this was ad-libbed. We should probably go fetch that gem.
That was ad-libbed?
Yeah.
Really? Mm. Wow, interesting.
I know. Cute, that's interesting. Right? And you and I both
We're like, yeah.
Before he even said we should fetch that gem, I was like, oh my God. I was their neighbor. Get that.
Mary,
fun,
the
fun
neighbor.
Story.
Yeah. Oh, tell a story, Mary.
You can, Blake.
No. All right. Fine. So we used to live in
downtown Providence.
And where we lived in downtown Providence,
there was a
big clubbing scene. For those of you in Rhode Island, we lived on Atwell's Ave, which is like the North End in Boston.
It's like the Jersey Shore, of Rhode Island,
and it was
all the cannolis.
It was where the Rhode Island Mafia, the Providence Mafia, like had their headquarters.
And Pauly D would actually DJ.
Yes. So there was this club that was next to our apartment, and there was this one time we were like, I don't know, it was like maybe 1 o'clock in the morning. And we had our window open.
It wasn't one time. People would fight all the time.
No, but it was this one time.
And so I had binoculars on my bedpost to watch it at 1:30 every night.
Every night.
So this one time, we heard
a commotion. This one time at band camp?
And I grabbed my binoculars. And then what happened, Blake?
There was this fight between two girls.
Yes.
And
all the hair.
All of the extensions were getting pulled off. And it was great.
It was
just
there was
like
a lot,
Jersey
There was
Shore.
A lot of people.
And the girl was like, I lost my necklace. Or was it a necklace?
It was a diamond bracelet.
It was a bracelet. I lost my diamond bracelet. And Mary's got her freaking binoculars out there looking for the thing, hoping and praying this girl would not find this diamond bracelet. Mary's
they
like,
couldn't find it.
I'm going to go out there and go find it.
So I went the next morning.
She went to go look for it.
I didn't find it.
Did not find the diamond bracelet. But you absolutely know if Mary was next to the Fraser's Ridge at the big house.
So as soon as I went out the window, Blake looked at me and I was like, I'd be finding that right now. And so when when Jamie says she's probably going to fetch that gem, I was like, good. Yeah. Good job, Taurus.
Avoid the Mary. Yeah. No, as soon as she threw that thing out there, I was like, whoa. Hey.
Yeah. Come on.
That thing's worth at least $100. Like, what are you doing? Just hucking the thing out the window.
Okay, so.
What about Roger Clemens? Let's calm down.
We get to Ocracoke, which looks like the shores of Rhode Island.
It looks like the low rent version of Craignadoon.
It looks like the Jersey Shore.
Yeah, yeah.
With Pauly D from Rhode Island. The version.
Ocracoke is the Atlantic City to Craignadoon's Las Vegas.
No, but it actually looked like Rhode Island. And you know how we have that stone circle near our beach?
Yes, yes, absolutely.
It's just so weird that we've got stuff like that. Really, we really do. We have like this stone circle.
Yes, that's true.
With a big stone in the middle. Right near one of my favorite beaches. And believe it or not, it's on Earl Court. And Earl is my maiden name.
Yes, that's true. Yeah, absolutely.
I brought you there. Anyway, the flute theme at the Stones is gorgeous. I cannot wait for Bear McCreary's soundtrack to season 7. Why has it not dropped yet? I need it in my life, but I wish that there were hints of the Druid's Dance as they were approaching the Stones.
That would have been really cool.
Yeah.
That would have been really nice. I liked the transition, too. I thought the transition was nice, where you can hear the effect. And they just stay behind the stone, and then they pan back out, and they just show Jamie and Claire's reaction.
That was so smart.
You know, because
Jamie's now had to see people zippity boppity through these stones now twice.
And it shows you that he still reacts to it the way that he does, where it's like it's not jarring, but it's just like unreal. And I like that the show doesn't show it. You know, it's like showing the shark in Jaws, right? If you show the shark in Jaws, all of it goes away. Correct. None of it works.
Correct.
If you ever show someone disappearing in the stones, it all just dies.
Mm-hmm.
All of it. Because
magic.
Because now you see it.
Yes.
And that's it. The magic is in Jamie's eyes.
Mm-hmm.
And then that reaction.
I love that.
You know, like it's, whoa, like.
This stone goodbye section, I was not prepared to cry yet again. Yeah. Running out of Charmin, we get Claire saying to Bree, I went through the stones once to save my baby, and now you're going to save yours.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Like I love how the show is making it a cyclical thing.
Yeah. Here. And then she, of course, says, you know, that we've said goodbye now twice. Because she says goodbye to Bree when she goes back for Jamie the first time. Right? And then she says goodbye to Bree when Bree tries to go back through the stones and bippity boppity boo, they just end up where they were.
Yeah.
Short hair with Claire. here at the Stones.
Yes.
So we got short, long. And what really made me cry, though, was when Claire was speaking to Jemmy, and she's saying, I want you to look after your sister always. But then she said, and I want you to teach her how to play hide and seek, because she started to croak, get all worked up. And then we get Jamie with Roger. And I'm going to let you have this, because I feel like you need to have this moment.
No, I don't need to have the moment. I think it's an important moment.
It is.
That really closes off.
I'm making you speak nicely about Roger right now, is why I'm giving it to you.
All the growth comes from Jamie, not from Roger, okay? All of it.
Okay, no, just actually say something nice.
All right.
So, there's no other man that I would trust that loves my daughter, with my daughter and the Bairns.
I don't know if that line is quite earned from Roger. However, I will say that Roger is choosing to do what he needs to do for his family. And that is going to the future to take care of his kid. And that's what matters.
Yes, right? it does matter.
And
he loves these people.
Yes.
So incredibly much.
And
lest you forget how much this guy has been tortured trying to follow the love of his life hundreds of years back.
Yes.
This isn't his family. Now it's his family, but back then it wasn't. Then he got tortured.
I don't know, and
didn't know what the heck he was doing. Okay, you would have failed if you were thrown into the 1770s. You would have failed too. You wouldn't have found your way. He's just doing right. He's just doing right. And he's really good at whittling. He's a good dad. He's a real good dad. And he may have his worries. He may have his concerns, but he's going to go. He's going to stick with Bree. No, you're not going to go through this. We're going to go together as a family.
I'm Take Bunked, okay? I can't come out of this.
I like his beard better this season.
Oh, yeah, much better.
Yeah,
much better.
Like
the short hair Roger is way better than long hair Roger.
Yeah.
Totally better. I will say this. It was a great moment shared between Roger and Jamie. I really liked it. I thought that it was, it characterized the journey that Roger has undergone from when he first showed up to when he traveled to the 1700s to follow his, the love of his life.
Yes.
And it's capped off by him taking his family, even though it means leaving the life that he is created here and leaving God and leaving the...
Well, he's not leaving God. He's leaving his reverend journey.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is he's leaving that, something that he deeply cared about ostensibly, to take care of his family. But you know that he's also kind of psyched to go back and get a hot shower, right? So I like the fact that Roger...
Boston cream pie.
I like the fact that Roger has this journey and Jamie recognizes it. And again, it's another reason why...
Jamie also still owes him his life from Snake. And that's when he's like,
skip the
snake bite one. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Another good use of Jamie's humor.
Exactly.
That shows up for this.
When the airplane roar goes overhead and Jimmy has his cute little airplane, the Brianna and Roger theme plays a little bit. And then, of course, we go into Claire and Jamie riding together. I love watching them ride. What's that? Oh, you know what it reminded me of?
What?
Who do I say I'm always like from Harry Potter? What character am I?
Harry?
No.
Yeah, you are. Oh, Ron.
I'm Ron.
Yeah,
where have you been?
Yeah.
When the Beauxbatons girls are, going through the aisles, and he's like, and they were walking. You know how I like to watch them walk?
Yeah.
You know, I like when they walk. And so Jamie and Claire are riding on the horse, and I was like, gosh. And I wrote my notes. I love watching them ride. And I was like, God, I am Ron. I love watching them ride. You know how I love watching them ride?
Because
I commented on every single time that they're riding over grass.
Yes.
I just think it's one of the most beautiful things. And of course, Fraser's Ridge starts to be played. And this is where we get the scene that made you cry again. The Claire and Jamie scene in bed.
Yeah, the Claire and Jamie scene. Again, it's an honest moment. It's what makes a great scene. When anything can happen, and it's shared between the viewer and the characters. You know, like it, a really famous scene where it always goes back to The Godfather. Always. When Michael is talking to his father, and his father's like, listen, you gotta do this, and you gotta do that, and you gotta take care of that. And he's like, Dad, I got it. Like, it's okay. Like, don't worry about it. Like, you as a viewer know that it's a big deal. Like what is transpiring between these two characters in The Godfather, right? And this is a big deal, what's transpiring between Claire and Jamie. It's an honest moment that mm-hmm. both that she could literally say anything. Like, Jamie, we need to bang right now, because I have to feel something different mm-hmm. other than what I'm feeling. Mm-hmm. She could say, Jamie, I'm going to get my kids. I'm going to get Bree, and I'm going to go take care of the Amanda. She could say, Jamie, I'm done with all of this. I can't go on any further. Like, anything can happen in that moment. Yet, instead of leaning on the crutch of physical intimacy, like having sex between the two where they could reconnect, mm-hmm. they actually connect in an emotional manner where he says, I'm here.
Yes.
And it's okay.
It was just such an interesting and brilliant and mature choice.
Yes.
To have Claire be kissing, start to grind a little bit, and stop, and Jamie kind of stop along with her. Because at first it's like, oh, okay, like,
yeah,
we're
okay,
doing
yeah,
this.
Like, yeah, we see that.
And this is how they often connect, and this is something that helps with pleasure. But we have seen Claire now, for the past season, go to ether to block out sad things. And so I think that it's really important to show that, like, she's had her vices, and not necessarily that sex is a vice for hers, but it is something that distracts her and it makes her feel other things, like you were saying. So whether that is the ether that makes her feel nothing, or it's sex that makes her feel all different things and kind of keeps her mind off of it. And I love that she says, every time I close my eyes, we've lost our family.
Yeah.
And this thing that was, like, always good and wonderful and could get her out of everything else isn't even working for her.
Right.
And I just loved that he holds her close and he says, weep for them, grieve for them.
Yeah.
And when you're done, I'll be here. And I agree with you. He, like, kind of brings her in close mm-hmm. in a way that we've seen Jamie and Claire have sex in this, like, mm-hmm. cute little pretzel maneuver. We've been there, but it's not that at all. You know, he's saying, just, it's okay to do this. And it's kind of goes back to the beginning of the podcast episode where I was talking about how the action of crying is such an important emotional release for us as humans, mm-hmm. and how it really can help you in this grieving process, how it gives your body this physical release. And that's it. I think Claire started to, you know, initiate something because she knew her body needed a release.
Yeah, absolutely.
And we haven't been able to let her cry for this. And it broke me when she was going through everyone that they've lost. You know, they created this giant family together, and it's all been gone, and it's just been so much change. And I loved how Jamie was just simply saying, and when you're done, I'll be here.
Yeah. Oh. This episode...
We all need a Jamie to hug us when we cry, right?
Yes, right. this episode, I think, in earlier seasons, would not have worked. This episode works. I mean, well, let's talk about it this way. So much happens, like, with the emotional goodbyes and, you know, Amanda being born. Like, they are just ripping through plot right when it comes to this. Like, I can only imagine how many chapters this is in some of the books, right? Like, it's probably like a quarter of the book for all I know. Yet at the same time, the creative staff is smart enough to know that, yes, we are ripping through plot, but we have to stick to the emotionality of what makes this work, right? And all of this works because we have 7 seasons of television on which we can lean, right? Jamie listing off all of the names of all the people that are gone, him recalling back to Murtaugh. You know, mm-hmm. the nod shared between he and Lord John mm-hmm. about seeing William, right? And then even the stuff between Lord John and Jamie right there, saying goodbye. All of that stuff works because they're cashing in on the emotional equity, mm-hmm. right? And they have a lot. They have a lot. Mm-hmm. And that's why the Jamie and Claire scene is, to me, that is a top 5 scene in all of Outlander.
I would agree. Which is, like, you think about how much physically these characters have been together and how so many of us have been like, ooh, I love this sexual scene, because let's be real, the show has done a very good job sexually.
Sure.
And like, we didn't need it. We as viewers didn't need it this episode.
It's not necessary.
It's not. It's so much deeper than that. Right. And it allowed us to kind of mourn for them, the big changes.
Yeah, even Jamie himself saying, like, listen, I would not be able to keep going if not for you.
Yes, I am not as strong as I once was.
Yeah, like, that is, you know, we've said it before and we'll say it again. Like, that emotionality and that vulnerability, that is what makes the whole show tick.
And the beauty of them aging and having life changes. I mean, so frequently when you watch television shows, it's almost like the cast is just frozen in time and they don't have these big momentous things. And like, in life, as you go on, people do leave, people do die, people do move, like, life happens and you do feel these consequences of it. You do have these moments where you grieve prior moments of your life and prior relationships of your life. And this is just one of the most beautiful complexities of Outlander, is that we get to grow along with these characters.
Sure.
And I just think it's amazing. And then, of course, it kind of wraps it up a little bit with a bow, or so you think, when, you know, Jamie has little Mandy's foal and Lizzie has her baby and they're like, oh, with the unusual family, but we're totes cool with it. And this truly is the happiest place on earth. You know, just count your blessings. And then Claire is out picking some flowers again, maybe picking some herbs, and the door is open.
Good bookend. A great bookend. The way that she begins the episode.
Yes.
And now she ends this episode.
Yes.
And that's why I keep saying this is the perfect ending for season 6.
Okay, but we're done with that. So she goes to the door. Now, Blake Larson.
You can't get any better than this.
Blake Larson.
Oh, man.
If you go to your house.
Yes.
And the door is cracked open. What do you do? We know what I would do.
Yeah, you'd get, who the hell's in here?
Well, I have already done it. Okay, but so I'm trying to say, like, if this was you,
what do I do?
So you see your door open, like Claire's. You know you didn't leave the door open. What's that movie? That Right Where I Left You. Not Right Where I Left You. What movie is that?
Oh, I don't remember what that is.
But that's what I thought of as she walked in.
Oh, I don't remember what that is. You're going to have to figure that out. What would I do?
Pirates of the Caribbean.
Ah, yes. Okay. Yes. Thank you.
You're welcome. But that's what went through my head is Claire was saying, I didn't leave this.
That's
not where I left you.
All right. What would I do? I think if this is the real house,
if this is really Blake,
like right now where we are, I'm probably calling the cops.
Okay.
I'm probably calling.
So you're not going in?
No. I think if I were younger and I was stupid, I'd go in.
Okay.
But I got a family now.
Yeah.
And it ain't work. Like, fine. You want all the crap in my house? Take it. I don't care. Like, that stuff ain't as worth as much as me being dead. Right? Like, whatever. I'll buy another computer. Like, I got a wife and kids now. Like, I'm much more useful alive.
Yeah.
Than dead because someone decided to take a TV. You know, like, it ain't worth it.
Then there's me.
Yeah, kicking doors down.
Kicked the door in.
Yeah.
This actually happened in an apartment of mine. Yep. My door was crowbarred open. I kicked it in. And I screamed, who the hell is in here?
Mm-hmm.
And the robber was still in my apartment. And I went inside and I was screaming like a mad person. And thank God my mom was on the phone with me. And she was like, what are you doing? I was like, there's someone in my apartment. Who the hell is it? And she was like, Mary, there's someone in your apartment and you only have one door in and out. You got to leave. And then I was like, oh, I guess. So I left.
Are you buying the whole
I called the cops.
Are you buying the whole Wendigo Donna thing?
So Claire goes in. I believe that Claire would do that. She would just walk on in. Do I buy that Wendigo Donna is in her house, broke out, looking for the other time traveler, knows her name, knows where to find her?
Yeah. Well, I guess let me rephrase that. There has been a lot of buildup for this, for Wendigo Donna. Like, there's been a lot of buildup, and it almost kind of reminds me of like the, what, the whites in Game of Thrones. Like, where it's like, okay, we have this zombie army coming.
Oh, I didn't feel that way about him.
He would just be referenced.
Okay.
You know, and like the whistling and the whole thing. It just, like,
no, I liked it.
I don't know. I just, don't know.
I liked it. So I'm here for it. I love that he was mad that he didn't think about creating the matches.
Sure.
I love that he brought back up. And I 100% can see him saying, like, you're the only person that I can talk to about this.
That's true.
And it messed up. Like, it didn't work right.
Yes.
I know I needed the gemstone. What did I do wrong? I see this. I see this as this completely desperate, selfish character.
Sure.
And how cute was Jamie when he was like, oh, I'm sorry, we haven't properly introduced myself, but my wife's crazy.
Yeah.
And she hid the gemstones, right, honey? And she's like, it's Wendigo Donner. He was like, screw this! It's done. I'm done.
All right, Marvin,
he turned
we
into
are,
beast mode.
We are at an hour 40 here, great. So we should wrap this bad boy up.
And then, and then they light the match, ether, the end.
Yeah, that's it.
Don't breathe the fumes.
Yeah, just don't do that.
The end.
All right, anything else you don't want to say about this episode?
Are we going to watch the episode on the next episode?
Yeah, we're going to watch the preview for on the listener feedback episode. Yeah, that's the tradition that we have. So if you're listening to this and you want to give us some feedback on what we said or what the or the episode itself, make sure you go to make sure you email us at maryandblakemedia@gmail.com or search us out on any of the platforms that we have on social media, or you can leave us a voicemail. Go to maryandblake.com. Just click the contact button. You'll see a drop down for voicemail. I promise I will not pick up. It just goes straight to the message. You can leave us one there, and that will be that. And the beautiful thing is, too, you can do it right from your smartphone or from your computer or your iPad, whatever. You can just, boom, right there, call. There it is. All right. That's that, Marvin. You got anything else you want to talk about?
No, that's it.
Ready to close this bad boy out?
I am.
All right. Let's close it out.
Thank you all so incredibly much for hanging out with us as we discussed episode 702 of this amazing show, Outlander. If you haven't yet, now's a great time to take a screenshot of this podcast, whether you're watching live or you're listening on your own spare time, and putting it in your stories, Facebook, Instagram, sharing it with a friend, putting it on your wall, social media. Let's be social and let's let other people who are starting their Outlander journey, whether newly on Netflix or Stars, let's let them know that they can check it out, our podcast. Because, you know, when you have a show with other friends, even if they're podcast friends, because let's be real, we are podcast friends.
Yes. Right?
We are. It just makes it so much better.
We're not podcast friends. We're podcast family.
Oh, boy. You're so sweet. You're so sweet.
This is the Fast and Furious version of the Mary and Blake Media. We got family.
Okay, Blake. Well, speaking of family, we want to thank our friends, those of you who have made contributions at jointhenerdclan.com. If we like to especially thank those of you who are at the associate producer, co-producer, and executive producer level. They are our most generous patrons. Thank you, Brittany, Vicky, Lisa, Caitlin, Norma, Tara, Peg, Jen, Suzanne, Susie Q, Brenda, Joanne, Jennifer, Carrie, Stephanie, Tracy, Shauna, Siobhan, Katie, Candy, Marianne, Sarah, Carolyn, Angie, Barbara, Karen, Laura, Christine, Anne, Bobby, Keelan, Marilyn, Dana, Meredith, Kirsty, and Kathleen. And thank you to everybody else who is a member at jointhenerdclan.com. You keep this mom and pop podcast shop rocking and rolling. We appreciate you. And I also want to thank our friends who've left us Apple Podcast reviews. Apple Podcasts, even if you listen on Facebook or YouTube or Stitcher, Apple Podcasts is the best way for our show to be found from other people. So thank you for those of you who've taken the time to write us a review. I want to thank Hugo Lala, who said, Mary and Blake, take one to a whole new level of a show watching with astute perception and nuances that might be missed.
Oh.
They have brought to mind with a flair of fun and cinematic knowledge that gives props to all the creators of Outlander. It's a great ride and the best show review podcast. So says I, a fan for 7 seasons.
Wow.
So thank you so much, Hugo Lala. We appreciate you and everyone else.
I just made my day. That's exactly what we're aiming for.
Hey, that's our goal. Our goal is to help make the show watching experience even more fun. So thank you.
I just want to also reiterate the fact that we got a goal. We set a goal today.
Yes.
950 members at jointhenerdclan.com.
For Michael Mouse.
We get 950. Anybody who requests a Michael Mouse shirt, totally going to get one. Totally going to get one.
Yes. Yes.
We got to get to 950, though.
All right, friends. On that note, my name is Mary.
My name is Blake.
And you've been listening to Outlander Cast.